Welcome to the podcast. Here we explore ambition, well-being, and impact, and we dive deep under the surface level tactics so that you can build a freedom-focused business on your terms. Hi, I'm your host, Annalise Warne, an agency CEO, business strategist, and coach, as well as a wife and homeschooling, traveling mama of four little ones. Stay tuned for conversations with inspirational business leaders, as well as practical marketing and leadership strategies that you can action right away. So let's get into it. Welcome, Sarah, to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I'm really excited for this conversation, actually. So I was very pleased when you reached out and I had a look at what you were doing. So people have heard your official bio. Could you give us the more sort of personal version about what it is that you're doing right now and kind of what we're going to dive into today?
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, the work that I'm doing at the moment is coaching for ambitious mums mostly. So that can look like one-on-one private coaching. I also love to facilitate workshops and group sessions, and then also speaking at events and on podcasts just like this one. So it all kind of how I got here essentially was I always knew I wanted to help people. So I went down the traditional, like, becoming a psychologist route because that made sense. I didn't realize how extremely statistical and analytical and science-y psychology actually is. And that was not very aligned with my personality. So I made a little veer off into counseling, studied a master's of counseling, which felt more aligned, but it still didn't feel quite right. And I couldn't really put my finger on what it was that I actually wanted to do. And the whole time that I was studying and figuring all this out, I was working for one of Australia's largest retailers and transitioned from working in their stores to their corporate national office. And I kind of stumbled upon a corporate career. I moved into the HR team because I felt like that's the people function, that makes sense. And I also felt like it was a very like responsible, secure, safe job. And so I just kind of stuck at it for a while and didn't really continue to go down the path of like, what do I actually want, until COVID hit. And then once that circuit breaker came, I was like, holy dooly, like life can be different than the constant commute, long hours, not seeing your family. And it got me to just question again, like, what do I actually want to do? Where do I want to go? How am I going to help people? And I recalled a life coach came to speak to us at my work one day. And so I reached out to her and then went on this journey of becoming a life coach. And then simultaneously, as I graduated from my life coaching academy, I became a mum for the first time. And all of this kind of collided into wanting to work for myself in my own business, create the life that I want to live, but also through helping and coaching mums. And then, yeah, I quit my corporate career and went all in on my business and haven't looked back. I have a toddler. She's over two now. My business is just over two now. So the two are growing together. And I'm still very much learning every day, but I love that because I can share those learnings with my clients as I go. So yeah.
So good. Thank you for sharing. And you're like speaking my language, lady, because that's what I'm all about. I'm like, yes, for empowering mamas.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so important. And that's what I love. And I think was such a gift in like, from the pandemic, like there was so much hurt and pain and all of that, but the silver lining that came out of it with people really having, like you said, that circuit breaker and reconnecting with like, oh, hang on, that's right, I get one life, like what am I what am I gonna do with it? And so I'm still every day kind of re-reminded from different conversations with people about kind of how much we actually needed that. Do you know what I mean? Or something like it, whether maybe not in that format exactly, but like how much we did need the, like, you know, that stop. And so, thank you for sharing. So when you say that you work with ambitious mums and that you're a life coach, talk to me about what that typically looks like, or about what you mean by ambitious, because sometimes that word can be really like prickling for people, but you know, so yeah, how, tell me about that.
Sure. Yeah, I think the word ambitious, I chose it on purpose because I really wanted to attract women who want to live life on their own terms. And when I think of people who have ambition, they have either a fire, a desire, or a dream inside of them that doesn't go away, essentially. And so I love to be able to work with these mums and figure out either what that is or what that has grown into and how they can pursue it. Because I think sometimes when you become a mum, that ambition can get buried so deep down because you're focused on keeping your little person or people alive, that you forget to live for yourself as well. So I really love working with mums in that way, who have that dream or that fire or desire, bringing it back out of them and helping them go after what they want. And in my program at the moment, it's called The Successful Boss Mum. And this program is for women who want to succeed at motherhood, business, and life, however that looks for them. And I love the idea of success because it is so personal. So personal. And everyone can succeed in whatever that way they want to, but sometimes you just need a bit of support, and that's where I love to jump in.
Yeah, so good. And it is, and I love the word ambition as well. It's one of my like four words that are kind of on my website. And you're right, it's that it is so individual and unique, and we all have our own version of what ambition actually is. And that's amazing, because maybe someone, you know, their dream is to have a business that brings them an extra $500 a week so that they don't have to go and get their part-time job. And maybe for ambition, some people it's like, you know, $500,000 a month. Exactly. And it's like, that's totally cool as well, because there's no right or wrong, and we're all built differently, but the point is we can have what we want. As so that's the exciting part. And I think that's what excites me about kind of the space that we're living in now, and that we have the opportunity, and that our kids even more so are going to have that and look at us. And so like, it's just like thrills me anyway. Oh, I could keep talking about
me
it.
Too. Me too. I love being able to, live life by design and show my daughter that that's possible, because it's kind of something that we never really thought was possible when we were growing up, because we just didn't see it that much.
Yeah, we weren't told, right? It was like, we go to school, we go to uni, we get a good job, that's what we do, like married, house, kids, picket fence, whole thing, retire when we're too old to enjoy anything.
Like, yeah, and then die.
Exactly. Yes. And yes, I'm glad more of us are going, hang on, this doesn't sound so good to me. Yeah. But that being said, if that's the conditioning that so many of us did have, then when you're working with women on this, I'm sure that you come up against a whole heap of mindset stuff around, should I actually be doing that? Like we talked about when we become moms, that often that ambition's buried deep down. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you help women work through as they kind of pull that back up, when I'm sure that they're feeling, you know, I'm being selfish, I'm taking time for myself, like, and like there'll be a whole heap of conditioning to undo, plus a whole heap of like head trash, I'm sure. So what does some of that kind of look like?
Yeah, totally. So with what I've found with mums is it is like 90% mindset. I think with a lot of business owners, it is like, I could become a business coach if I wanted to, but honestly, I love being a life and mindset coach, because if you can get all of that kind of under control, then you'll succeed at your business. Once you employ a strategy, like, it will work. But if you've got all the strategy and all the know-how and you're fighting with yourself in your mind, you don't truly believe in yourself, it's never going to work. So
can I just say,
yeah,
they won't do it. Actually, I've had people in my program for 2 years, not now, because like I fixed the problem, but they were literally in the program, a business coach with everything they needed for marketing and everything for 2 years, mm-hmm. and did nothing because it was the mindset stuff. So like,
yeah,
this is needed. It's really, really mm-hmm. needed. And it took me, 2 years of running my coaching program a few years ago to go like, hang on. Oh, wow. It's more mindset. Like,
yeah, it's we need so to change foundational.
Sorry, keep going. I just wanted to insert practical example.
It's so true. And like some of the stuff that we come up against, it's not exclusive to mums. I think a lot of it, women and men struggle with things like confidence, things like setting boundaries, things like time management, things like self-worth. But a big piece that I work on with mums is just for us mums, and that is how to move through mum guilt. That's a big one, because that can hold you back tenfold.
Yeah. So I know that you have a guilt acronym. Is mm-hmm. that specifically related to MILT, to mum guilt?
Yes, it is. And to be honest with you, I've also only recently discovered a new form of mum guilt. And I'm keen to chat to you on this because I know you have four littles and you've been in this game a lot longer than me. So there may even be more that I'm not aware of. I'm always willing to learn. But what I've come to discover is there seems to be like situational mum guilt. So mum guilt around circumstances or life situations that you either find yourself in or create for yourself. And then there's incidental mum guilt. So mum guilt that comes about after a specific event or an incident. Two different types of mum guilt, and I've found two different ways to handle them. Because with situational mum guilt, so an example of that could be feeling mum guilt for, you know, needing to put your children in daycare, or feeling mum guilt for choosing to finish breastfeeding, something like that. It's a situation, it's a circumstance. The guilt acronym works so well for situational mum guilt, but not so well for incidental. So I might just start with the situational mum guilt and talk you through the acronym. So the acronym is GUILT, easy to remember. And the G stands for give yourself grace. So in the first instance, when mum guilt comes up and you're feeling like crap, you need to be kind to yourself before you do anything else and you try to move through it. You need to reconnect with yourself and give yourself some love in whatever way feels right to you. So for some people, that's affirmations. For some people, it can be like flipping the script. So if you are speaking really harshly to yourself, think about what you would say to your best friend or your sister, and then take that dialogue that's obviously a lot more positive and helpful and say it back to yourself. Those are a couple of examples where you can just try and bring the kindness back to yourself before you start to move through. So that's give yourself grace. Then U stands for understand your why. So behind every decision we make as moms, and there's thousands throughout the day, we have a reason or reasons why. But often the emotion of a situation that brings up mum guilt can get in the way of the logic behind these reasons. So sometimes just reminding yourself of your reasons why and anchoring into that can help to dissipate some of the emotion. Why is your child in daycare? So that you can work, because you want to work or you want to earn a living or provide or whatever that is. Anchor back into that why. There's always a reason why. So that was you, understand your why. Then I stands for identify your triggers. So it's interesting to note in what situations that mum guilt is flaring up and whether you can find any patterns or consistencies, because then you can get a jump on this mum guilt feeling before it actually takes hold. So if you know that daycare drop-off is a trigger for you, you can start to do some things to help yourself feel less guilty before you even get to that feeling of feeling the guilt. If you know when you're around certain people, you're not feeling like a good enough mum, you can start to limit those interactions or be more conscious of that. So identifying your triggers is really important to just help reduce the frequency. L is my favorite. L stands for look for the good. So in every situation where mum guilt rears her ugly head, there is some good, often for more than one party. I had a really big mum guilt moment almost a year ago now where my husband was overseas for like 3 weeks, and I was burnt out. My daughter wasn't sleeping and I asked for help, and my mother-in-law said absolutely she would have her for a night. So as I'm driving off, I felt like crap. I felt intense mum guilt for leaving my daughter for one night. However, there was so much good in that situation. She got to have so much fun with her grandparents for one night. They loved the extra time, and I got to sleep. I got to rest and reset. So when you focus on the good, there's no room, or there's less room for the negative. And then finally, T stands for trust yourself. So trust your instincts. Trust that you know what is right and best for not just yourself, but your family. I do believe that as a mum, you have this deep innate wisdom within you, and we don't always tap into it. We don't always engage with it, but whatever you can do to kind of center yourself and really dig into that, for some people it's meditation, for some people it's going for a walk, whatever that might be, I encourage you to really listen to yourself and then trust that you're doing what you're meant to be doing. So quick recap, give yourself grace, understand your why, identify your triggers, look for the good, and then trust yourself to move through situational mum guilt.
So good. And I think it would even apply to the incidental stuff for a lot of those circumstances as well. I was kind of thinking mm-hmm. about it as you were going through. But mm-hmm. that's so practical and really useful, I think, because that's going to come up for all of us, right, all mm-hmm. the time, right? So my eldest is nearly 11. My youngest is 2. Next week I'm going to Sydney for 5 days and leaving them with dad, like, they're done, which is fine. I do that, you know, once or twice a year, but mm-hmm. still it's like, oh, I'm leaving them. And mm-hmm. I'm like, so yeah, it comes up all the time. Actually, mm-hmm. I think there's another sort of mum guilt, but I'm not sure exactly. Maybe it's some anxiety. We homeschool our children.
Oh yeah.
And we have for over a year. And only really recently I realized like the weight of that decision. I'm like, oh wow, that's a really big mm-hmm. responsibility. And so I don't know if it's mum guilt or one or mum, but I think that acronym would still apply in that circumstance, like talking mm-hmm. myself through that to be like, mm-hmm. no, it's the right decision, it's okay, trust myself, good.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, I think just a really good reminder to check in and be like, actually we're doing the best that we can. And mm-hmm. when I think if we want to run a business, then we are called to run a business, actually, mm-hmm. because it is not the easy option. Like no. Smart, you know, people, it's us like crazy people that actually yeah. want to run businesses because mm-hmm. we have something that we need to share that we can't actually keep inside us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of our purpose for being on the planet, actually, is to bring that to the world in some way, even if that's, you know, talking about ambition, like the scale doesn't matter,
yeah,
but to actually bring that out and the ripple effect of that. And so being a mum is like, this is part of the mission, part of the purpose, yeah. but actually it's kind of bigger than that because we're more than mums. Like that's a really exactly. important part that we've chosen, and we're privileged to like play that role.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think knowing that we actually have that bigger purpose combined with that guilt acronym mm-hmm. can hopefully move people forward to keep taking those steps.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's, yeah, there's a reason if you have this calling, and it's not going to go away if you ignore it. So better to just follow it and then find your way through it.
Yes. So do you typically work with mums that are getting started or thinking about running a business, or already
sometimes,
in
but they generally have already started a business. Yeah. And they're in the early stages. And And that's kind of when I feel like mum guilt can really take hold, because you are so focused on the growth and the build, and you need to be. But yeah, I'm yet to meet a mum that hasn't struggled with mum guilt.
So what are some of the, sorry, you go.
No, you're right. I was just going to share that when I discovered this other form of mum guilt, the incidental, was only like recently, so only a couple of weeks ago. And long story short, my daughter ended up with a tick in her ear. I have no idea how it got there. We were able to remove it very quickly without trauma, and she was fine. It hadn't fed on her. It was really a non-event, but I noticed that days later I was feeling feelings of guilt and what a terrible mum. Like, how did I let my daughter get a tick in her ear? Like, what kind of a mum? Those like mum guilt thoughts. And so then I was trying to do my guilt acronym, and I was kind of getting stuck, and I was like, this doesn't feel 100% helpful right now. And so I started to like look at myself and be like, okay, well, what am I experiencing? I'm experiencing mum guilt, which is just lots of negative thoughts and stories that I'm telling myself. So what I started to do was a three-step process. So I would reframe, review, and then reset. So I started reframing these negative thoughts. Okay, so I'm feeling like a bad mom because something not great happened to my child. So I started asking myself, has a good mom ever had a bad thing happen to their kid? Well, yes. I mean, just because bad things happen to our kids doesn't mean we're bad moms. I started changing any of those negative feelings to more positive ones. And once I got kind of out of that really yucky mum guilt rut, then I was ready to review the situation. So I reviewed it. What happened? She got a tick, found the tick. We removed the tick. She was fine. That's the summary. But what I really wanted to do was focus on like, what did I do well in that situation? And also, what did I learn? And kind of look at it from that lens, not so much focusing on the thing that was not great. So like what I did well was identifying it, working really well with my husband. We were a great team. We kept her pretty calm. She did get upset, but I brought her back down. And, you know, we were able to remove it effectively. And what did I learn? What did I learn? I learned ticks can just appear. I learned that, I learned that my daughter is like really conscious of her body as well, because she said to me, there's something in my ear, something in my ear. And it had already latched. Like it would have happened a little time before, but she was so conscious. And so that was a cool thing to learn. And I learned that through research, some people are allergic to ticks. So fun things. After that, after you do the review, it's really, really important to reset and just let it go. Because if you keep going back to that feeling and thinking about it, you're just going to be stuck in that mum guilt. So I took a slow day for myself when Poppy went to daycare, and I made sure that I took care of myself and moved through and just let it go, because she's fine and it's not a big deal. And so I felt like that three-step process of like reframe, review, and then reset was a good way to move through that incident. So yeah, I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful as well. And also with what you said, we can make mistakes and still not be bad moms too.
Totally.
Because some things that like are totally my fault. Like that was really not your fault. But like some things that we do, like through moments of stupidity or like whatever, like we're still gonna just make mistakes because we're human. And that doesn't make us a bad mom. Because I think even if we're considering if we're bad moms, we're good moms. Yes. Do you know what I mean? Because bad moms don't think, am I a bad mom? Like only good moms are trying to be better and like consider it. So yes. Just wanted to throw that in there.
and it's true. Like I actually read somewhere in some research done on mum guilt, and there's not a lot of research on mum guilt, let me just tell you, there's not a lot of funding for that apparently. But apparently it is like a kind of biological function of being a mum, in that we never feel good enough. So we're always striving to be better. So in turn, we do better, and then our species continues. Like,
sounds
thanks,
plausible
nature.
to me. Thanks, sounds plausible, but we can work through it, right? And I think that's great to be learning and growing and recognizing, and we're always going to do that. And even at different phases of business, like I had something this week in the business that was like a big level up, and I've got this peer group that I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so freaked out about this, and I'm feeling like I can see myself, and like we're always sort of evolving our mindset because we're growing, and we're, you know, our kids are growing, so we're always coming up against new things, and hopefully our business is growing.
Yeah.
And that means we have to grow with it. Like our capacity has to grow in order to hold more. And that is uncomfortable a lot of the time, but I think we get better at using the tools. So I think that's why like programs like yours early on in business are so important, because you're going to come up against different challenges, but those tools you can keep applying and just keep applying once you have that tool belt. And one of them I learned probably only midway through my business, to be honest, is like around boundaries. And I know that you talk a lot about that. So do you want to, should we shift into boundaries?
Sure.
Should I talk about that?
Yeah, I like to talk about boundaries and call them beautiful boundaries, because I feel like boundaries can be such an off-putting word and so intimidating to people. And I feel like if you soften it with a beautiful at the front, it's a bit more palatable and people are willing to give it a go. And I think there's lots of great experts out there on boundaries, and there's so many definitions, but one that like I just kind of came up with that feels really right for me is that beautiful boundaries allow us to protect and respect our own time, space, and energy. So it can look different for everyone. And I think there's so many benefits to boundaries. You know, they put us back in control. They can keep us safe. They can empower us. They can build our sense of self-worth and self-confidence, protect our precious time, especially as mums. And they do, you know, if you have boundaries in place, it has been shown to reduce stress and resentment. So lots and lots of big benefits for them. And I love hosting workshops on boundaries, especially because it's a really good topic to dive into with mums. And the kind of three tips that I cover, if you want to set really great boundaries, is that you need to be calm, confident, and clear. So being calm involves becoming centered yourself. So if you are completely overwhelmed, there is no way you're going to be able to even recognize boundaries, let alone go after them and set them. So, you know, first putting things in place to center yourself and have some sort of space is really important to become calm. And then once you become calm and you know that you need these boundaries, you're going to need a bit of confidence. So it can feel hard at first and it can feel uncomfortable, but the more you do them, the better you will get. And the thing with confidence too is that, you know, everyone says like, I don't feel ready, and people are waiting to feel ready, but like ready isn't a feeling. You're never going to feel it. It's a decision. You have to choose to be ready or choose to do the hard thing. And then through doing the thing, you get the confidence. So I think knowing that that confidence is a really big piece, but it's going to come through the doing. So the next step is to be clear. So communicate really clearly and really simply. And that can look like, you know, planning it out. It's a bit nerdy, but plan it out. Practice it in the mirror, especially if you're setting a boundary with someone else. Practicing that conversation can be so beneficial, because then you go in already prepared instead of like, oh, well, oh, okay, all right, I'll just keep doing that thing I don't really want to do, no worries. So yeah, it's super important to be prepared with that, to deliver it calmly and confidently. And then the last step is obviously holding it. So if it's a boundary with yourself that you find yourself slipping on, you've only got yourself. So what you need to do is go back, dig deep. What is your why? What is the reason behind this boundary? What is the value that's tied to it? revisit that, remember that, because there's always a reason behind why you've set a boundary in the first place. And sometimes the risk of losing that why or that reason is a lot more uncomfortable than keeping the boundary in place. And if it's with others, then you can do like a little friendly reminder. Hey, like, I know we discussed this. It seems to be, you know, slipping, or we're falling back into old habits. Do you think we can reset? And then if boundaries keep getting crossed, it's okay to give a final warning. Hey, we've spoken about this. This isn't okay with me. If this continues, I will XYZ. And then just staying strong in the end, like, remember why you have your beautiful boundaries and then hold them. And it's okay for boundaries to change and evolve as you change and evolve as well. I do have a free guide. It's just a simple 5 steps on how to set boundaries like a boss. So I'm happy to share that link with anyone listening. If you want to get your hands on that, it's a good place to start if you want to set some beautiful boundaries for yourself in your business.
Yeah, great. We'll definitely pop that link in the show notes for people. And yes, to boundaries. And I think the holding them with other people, what I heard from, I can't remember from who, but it was something like, it's not other people's job to uphold our boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like, we have to uphold our own boundaries, because other people mm-hmm. are just going to be in their own space and in their own world, and they're going to forget and they're going to just do what they do. So mm-hmm. it's our job to like hold the boundary. Like, that's our job. And so mm-hmm. if that means like, no, I'm not doing that, or like, no, I'm not coming, or no, you know, like whatever yeah. it is. Yeah, it's like that muscle that we just need to get stronger. Like you said, mm-hmm. you know, gain the confidence by doing it. Yeah. And it's annoying because we think that people should uphold our boundaries, but actually a lot of the time they're just, we're in their own world. We're selfish, cute creatures naturally. Yeah. Like, it actually yeah. takes a lot to consider yeah. other people. It's actually true. Like, just our, you know, human nature, and some people are good at it, but most people aren't. So yeah. I think what I've heard is just, yeah, like hold the line, and you just get better mm-hmm. at going no, or going, I know I work with a lot of service providers, so just continually saying like, yes, I can do that, but it's an extra fee, like, or yet, you know, yeah. like that line is with scope creep, I find mm-hmm. a lot in business. And I also find a lot, because I work with service providers, we are there to serve, to provide a service, and so we're people pleasers, a lot yeah. of us. And I don't know whether you find that in your work, whether it's actually broader than service providers. Is it like mm-hmm. women in general? Is it moms? I don't know. I was just thinking that as you were talking. I haven't done the research, but just I know yeah, that.
I think just this is just anecdotal, but yeah, a lot of the mom, like, I work with moms only, but yeah, I mean, people pleasers are most of us, is what I've found. And I think too, the word no can have so much charge around it. And so a reframe that I like to teach when we're going through boundaries is like, if you're saying a no, like, what is the yes? Focus on what that no gives you, where you're getting more time, more space, more energy. Focus on what the yes is, and then it can like take a bit of the charge off the no.
Yeah. I mean, I do that with my 2-year-old, right? He'll be like, can we go for a walk? And it'll be like, yeah, tomorrow. Like, we focus on the yes. It's not a no, because that's like shut down tantrum mode. So we just mm-hmm. go like, yes, but it looks like this. And that, like, mm-hmm. it just, maybe we're all just 2-year-olds still.
I think so. I have to be so careful with mine. Like, she remembers everything I say or promise. And so I have to, if I promise something, I have to be willing to follow through because she will pull me up.
Yes. Yes, me too. Yeah. And I've done discipline before. I'm like, why did I do that? I've like shot myself in the foot. And I'm like, I can't go back on my word, because like, anyway. All right. Is there anything else that you wanted to share, Sarah, before we wrap up?
I feel like we've covered so much.
We covered so much.
This has been a really, really juicy convo. Yeah, I don't have anything burning. I feel so grateful to have been able to chat with you, and yeah, I hope that I have been able to provide some value for the people listening today. And yeah, I love your podcast, so I feel very honored to be on here.
Oh, thank you. I've been blushing. No, thank you so much. What you shared was really, I think, really valuable and really actionable, and spans so many different scenarios that these are things we can use. It doesn't matter who we are or what stage of business that we're in. This is related to being human and wanting to live life on our terms and different ways that we can, you know, re-kind of condition some of what we've been set up with in our minds and move forward and be productive and create that life that we want. And that's, you know, that's what we all want. So thank you so much for sharing your expertise and coming on and for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Two things before you go. If you have loved this episode, please grab your phone to subscribe and review the show. And if you are ready to make a power move in your business, book a free strategy call with me, and you will walk away with a 3-step action plan and a new fire in your belly. Book your call at annalisewarn.com/consult. The link is in the show notes. Have a fabulous week.